Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am very honored to have my friend Victor Avila back. He has been with us from the beginning, and he will never give up for God, for country, and for everyone. Thank you for joining me, Victor Avila.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back, Mel. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Always a pleasure. And I have to say, you have been with me for a very long time. I've watched you warn about the border well before we got even close to where we are now. But again, it keeps getting lost in the distraction and the headlines. And the border is a giant problem that is not being addressed. But you are down there regularly addressing it. You live down there. Your whole story is a Border Patrol agent. So let's hear the truth. What is going on? What is happening?
Let me give you the latest, because this is the buzz that I hear. As a matter of fact, I haven't done a lot of border hits because, it's so quiet, Victor. Nothing's happening at the border. Let me tell you, that's completely not true. The Biden administration has now gotten into a very covert type of operation where they're not counting the illegals. They're trying to bring them mostly through the port of entry. It's still, all this is illegal, by the way. Everything that I'm about to describe to you is an illegal process, but they're doing it. They're handing out paroles. They're handing out these permits, work authorizations, completely illegal. A lot of them done in Mexico by NGOs. And just last week, the Biden administration again implemented a brand new policy that if you're from Central America and Colombia, you can fly in from your home country into the United States if you have a U.S. citizen family member. You know what I think when I see that, Mel? I smell fraud. Fraud, right. fraud, because we know that this administration is not letting our agents and our ICE enforcement removal operations from the interior part to do the checks. So anybody could say, I'm the uncle, I'm a U.S. citizen in Florida and Texas, wherever, and they're going to allow them to fly not only with a permit, but with a work authorization. But what about our U.S. citizens? They're put completely last. And so it continues. By the way, the transition and the movement of the people from in between the ports of entry and the river is still happening. In El Paso, they're still doing it. In Eagle Pass and Del Rio, it's still happening. Our Texas governor put up these ridiculous buoys. It's a waste of time and money because all they do is go around it. And the cartels and it sounds horrible, but because I support our Border Patrol agents so much that because the administration has forced them, the border agents go to the spot where it's open so they could come in through there. And the aliens are looking for the border agents. This is how ironic it is. The aliens are looking for the border agents so they can be allowed to come in. That's exactly what's happening right now. And let me tell you, death continues at the border. Last week, 4 drowned, one of them a toddler. The rapes continue. The children, here's the other one, the other policy that you didn't hear about it in the news. After Title 42 went away, you know, that whole mess, and they're going to start prosecuting people under Title 8, which is a illegal immigration statute, and they're not following it, especially. And they put this out. If you have a child with you, we are not going to apply Title 8. Well, guess what's happening now? They're bringing kids.
Right.
There is no DNA test. Any kid. Right. There is no DNA testing. So all of a sudden, what have we seen? An increase of family units. Everybody has a child now. And guess what? Boop, come in. But no one's checking if that child is the next of kin or parent. These parents are with them. I'm telling you, I've already seen it too much on my own on airplanes where these men are escorting these kids that are not their children to everywhere in our country. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't continued. China, let me tell you, there's Chinese camps in the Darien Gap.
Right.
And they're sending people. Not only are they killing us with the fentanyl by giving us the precursors and chemicals to the cartels, but now the Chinese are sending people. The Chinese is a very unique situation here because we don't know if they're here for forced labor. I've done cases where they use the Chinese as slaves. Are they spies? Are they here to infiltrate us in our universities? Are they scientists? What are they? Well, you know what? We don't know because we don't have our border agents are not given the time to vet. And so there is no vetting. Here's another one. I'm telling you, it hasn't stopped. I got a call from one of my sources.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I need to follow up probably today after I get done with you. The flights from Laughlin Air Force Base are going to revamp and start again that you and I are going to pay for.
Wow.
Out of a military base. They're going to fly out illegals and they're bringing them. El Paso is very saturated, right? And they built this soft-sided facility and they've added and added. And so it's full. So they're driving them from El Paso to Del Rio, Laughlin Air Force Base, and flying them from there. So they're going to, on our dime, wherever they want to go to their final destination, and they're getting resources, they're getting money, they're getting shelter, they're getting education, they're getting health care, all these issues. Venezuela, here's another one. I'm getting a lot of calls from concerned legal Venezuelans that are very concerned right. that the ones that are coming are damaging their reputation. They tell me, Victor, we're not those Venezuelans. We're Americans. And the Venezuelans that are coming right now are possible infiltrators of the, not just the Maduro regime, but Chavistas from Hugo Chavez.
Right.
Military members, soldiers. This is a national security issue. So I want people to understand that the border continues, the drugs, the meth, the fentanyl. I was just in Alabama, meth. I was just in Florida, in Tampa area, meth is the big problem. And that continues. That hasn't stopped. The smuggling, the trafficking hasn't stopped. But you got to start thinking about the big picture. China, Venezuela, Cuba, Iran. Because you heard that you saw what happened last year. We encountered a terrorist and we let him go at the border. But why? I read the report.
Right.
Why did we miss this guy? Because the border agents were very busy processing illegal aliens. And so they sent the email. Nobody saw the email. Nobody contacted the National Targeting Center, blah, blah, blah. As a matter of fact, he went to Florida.
A lot of them do. Don't you remember all the 9/11 hijackers supposedly were trained here in Florida, where I am now? But I got to tell you, this is very scary. A couple things that you talked about. Now, if people don't know, most of you have seen, Victor's been on here a lot. He has an amazing book called Agent Under Fire. He was on the front lines for many years. He was in a gunfight. He lost his partner. This was when the borders were, quote unquote, under control. So what we're talking about now is Border Patrol agents who have no support. A lot of them, I don't know how they are doing down there, but I did want to address the agents because, you know, I've watched what has happened to our police with Defund the Police. A lot of people don't realize those Border Patrol agents, they are suffering. There's a lot of problems down there. And I know that you've spent your life, especially after you lost your partner, advocating for the Border Patrol agents. Yes. And this is a really terrible situation that we really need to take into account.
Let me talk to you about the agents. I'm telling you, they're demoralized. Just put yourself in whatever you do for a living and your employer tells you to do completely what's opposite and illegal in your job. If you're a banker, you know, whatever you do, a teacher, they're asking you to do illegal things and you really can't do anything about it because you'll lose your job. You saw probably, I don't know if you saw the video of a border agent cutting the razor wire and letting the people in. There's a story behind it. The video only shows him cutting the razor wire, but it was because a toddler was caught in the razor wire. And if people don't know how razor wire works, the more you move, the more it gets entangled and it pierces your skin. Well, they were cutting it to obviously rescue the child. And once they're there, they let the illegals in. But it's not the border agent. It's not the individual. Right. It's Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. It's Biden. It's this regime that has a stronghold on them and is making them do illegal activity. And I'm telling you, it's getting out of hand where they're opening gates, they're cutting razor wire. The state of Texas is fighting back a little bit and trying to contain it. Once it's on this side, the border security measures are not border security measures, they're enforcement measures. It is a mess. And if you think that it's a slowdown just because the news hasn't covered it, it has not.
Right. That's why I was really glad to have you on because something is going on. You know, I just left New York City and there's about 60,000 illegals in New York City alone, probably more than that. But when I tell you that in Midtown Manhattan, where they are housing them, they are all over the place. And not just that, like you mentioned, there's a lot of young children, a lot of pregnant women. Most of the men are young. They, you know, they're of a certain age, but they're also restless at this point. And what I'm nervous about and what I've been hearing, and because I've studied color revolutions for the last 15, 20 years, and I watch this stuff happen and I know the players, what I am hearing is that a lot of these illegals that are in the city are being infiltrated by people. I'm hearing from different NGOs connected to Open Society or the UN or even the Democrat Socialist of America and some of these other, like La Familia, there's other groups, but that they're befriending them, getting in there, asking them in the color revolution matter, are you getting what you thought you were going to get when you got here? Are you getting what you deserve? There's a hashtag going around on some of the text messages and the flyers they're handing out, hashtag demand citizenship. I'm very nervous knowing color revolutions and the playbook, and I think America is in one, and it's the same guys who have pulled them all over the world, of course, that this is a plot and a plan to get to a place where they are all over the country, and I believe this is happening everywhere, not just New York City, but that they're getting ready to use these people as weapons against we the people.
Very good point, and a lot to unfold here. One, you're absolutely right. And so I think of it, when it takes me back to when I was a gang intelligence officer. Right. The gangs flourish. Why? Because they get these kids, the boys, the girls that come from broken homes. They need a father figure. They need somebody to support them. Well, that's what the NGOs are becoming, because these people don't have any support and they're taking them in and they'll do whatever they want for them. That's one thing that kind of reminded me of. But another thing is people ask me all the time, why is this administration allowing this to happen? Remember, our representatives in Congress are counted by population, not by citizens. And this administration undid what the prior administration did about not counting illegals in the census. And as soon as Biden took office, he said, you're going to count everybody. Well, 60,000 is a lot of people. That's just in one place. Well, guess what? When the census comes around, they're going to count them and they're going to get more representation in the House, and they want to control Congress forever. That's another one that a lot of people don't think about. When you talk about the men and all this, this is where you have to be paying attention, because you said restless. There's a lot of issues. There's a syphilis outbreak right now, directly attributed to illegal aliens. Well, there's only one way you can get syphilis.
Right.
And we have them having sex, drugs, alcohol. Yes, cartel affiliation. A lot of the cartels are now letting them go on credit. And the cartels own them as slaves and said, well, when you get to Minneapolis, when you get to Florida, when you get to New York, wherever you're going, you're going to do whatever we ask you to do, because you owe the $8,500 or whatever amount you owe them. That is happening more and more and more. And you're starting to see a lot of violence attached to this. So we have a huge crime problem in this country to begin with. Right now, we're out of control and everywhere. Texas, every city, you almost cannot avoid the amounts of violence and crime, right? A lot of it due to meth. That's what I hear from the sheriffs and the police when I go around the country speaking. A lot of it has to do with these kids are not doing anything, and the cartels.
Right, that's a big problem. Yeah.
The cartels are asking them, you know what? You're going to go sell meth. You're going to go sell fentanyl. You're going to enroll in the community college where you're at, and you're going to sell in these colleges. I'm telling you, this is I hear it from the local towns and the mayors and them, the blue states and the blue cities. You want to ignore the problem thinking it's going to go away, and it's not. And they're seeing it right in front of their face, but they still want to defund them. You know what the Biden administration is doing with they're not just defunding them. They might not be taking the money away, but they're taking the authority away. It's worse than defunding. Yes. It's way worse. So our border agents, it's not like we don't have money. People say in Congress all the time, our border agents need more resources. And let me tell you right now, I'm okay with giving them all the resources they want. That's not the answer. The answer is putting them to work back on the line. The same thing with a lot of police departments, believe it or not, police and sheriffs. Now, I was in Alabama. There's a different story. Alabama, very red. And they're fighting. They're fighting. And sometimes they're fighting with the legislators that are not on the same page. They're fighting with mayors because the mayor wants to dictate to the chief of police how to enforce the law. When did they go to the academy? When did they get trained? It is a big problem.
Yeah, that is a big problem in New York City. A lot of people are seeing Eric Adams. That's happening all the time. We just had, I believe that the police commissioner is leaving. But what you're saying is really important. I've had on a couple of NYPD guys, too, and they say the same thing, which is they're right now in both New York City and Chicago, they're not allowed to chase a criminal. They're not allowed to foot chase a criminal, period. They're not allowed to arrest people for shoplifting. They're not allowed to go up to people. They're not allowed to go up to mentally ill people. You know, so all of this is happening and these people are demoralized, dehumanized, and then they're hiring a lot of officers under this new HR diversity, yes, equity, inclusion that don't meet the standards. They're even like dropping the standards for drug use and physical fitness. And it's just like they're replacing good cops with minions. And when you walk around New York, you see all these cops standing there. And like you said about the Border Patrol, you're looking at it. You don't know if they're this new breed of cops that are being told and trained on CRT and DEI. And by the time they get to the, you know, the forefront, they don't solving crime and stopping crime and protecting the people is not even part of their job. But the old school cops, you know, they're not allowed to do anything. And then they took away the liability. So now if they do anything, God forbid, then they're in trouble. So they really, from hands up, don't shoot, all the way through defund the police to now, they've already taken care of a lot of the cops, so they can't do anything. Another thing you brought up that's going on in New York, and a lot of people out there have taken footage of this, is that there's a lot of drugs and alcohol inside the hotels. 60% of hotel rooms in New York City right now have illegals. A lot of U.S. citizens and vets and homeless people have been kicked out of our shelters, and they've replaced them with illegals. But there's no rules or laws in there. So what's happening is a lot of people are saying there's a tremendous amount of pregnant women coming in and out of these places.
I've seen them. I've seen the pregnant coming from the border as well. And so this is one thing, you said it very well. Who wants to be a cop now? Why would you want to be a cop? And yes, they're fleeing these cities. The shortages of police officers to begin with the effects of public safety. And in Dallas, they have, they just put a criteria of what 911 calls are not going to respond to. That you have to submit your 911 call online. Oh. Are you kidding
me? And they want to take your guns when there's so much rural land in Texas that a cop couldn't get there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, even if they got the call. This is just lawlessness. It's
lawlessness that's attached to this ideology from this administration all the way down to your local government. And absolutely, we're feeling the effects. If I say it all the time, it's public safety, national security. And if you really want to talk about immigration, border security is separate. I just got back from Israel, and I did a 2-week tour of their security. I went to every border, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank. Let me tell you, they don't care who the prime minister or president of Israel is. Border security is border security, and they're always going to have it. And it's a top of mind all the time. That's what I brought back. I brought the importance that they face, and as Hezbollah is staring at them, and Hamas down here. And you saw what happened. We were there just before they launched the rockets. And this is life or death. And you know, I talked to these colonels that we got briefed from and all that. I said, you know what? It's the same in the U.S. It should be the same in the U.S. anyway, because they aren't killing us. They're killing us with counterfeit pills. They're killing us with violence. They're killing us all these. And we don't seem to react about it. Nobody seems to care. That is national security. That is something that we're supposed to be protecting our citizens.
Hey, Patriot pals. So happy that you're looking into gold and silver and protecting your savings for whatever comes ahead. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is our good friend, and we've been working with them for a long time. So you'll be getting a call from them. We'll also follow up here at the Mel Kay Show, because we want to make sure that you're taken care of and you're protected. If you have any questions, please let us know. Right now is the time. There's so much information coming. There's so much chaos. We just want all the patriots out there to be sure that they are protected, they are moving forward, and that we get through the storm together and safe. Whatever may come, just know we, the people of the United States, will prevail. God wins, and protect yourself. And please get in touch with us if you have any questions. So Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they're the best. They'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. You be in touch with us. Let's do this together. Yeah, that's a good point. I've been to Israel several times, and I have to tell you that that is true. And also, Israel is very secure. There's very little random crime because everyone went through training. So, you know, if you can walk around in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or wherever in the middle of the night, and there's it's very rare that there's like minor crimes or even muggings, rapes, that kind of stuff. It's a very low crime place because of that. And then when you bring you coming back here, which is we'll get into that, you're running for office again and all of that. It's really important that you look at what they're doing there, because, again, a lot of those people that are involved in border security there, there's contracts, there's AI, there's technology, also are here. And they should be, we should be utilizing that technology here that they're using there, because we have it here. It's just that the people in charge aren't implementing it. But somebody like you, which is, we'll talk about your run, you could bring that to the forefront. We should be using the technology Israel is using, because a lot of those companies have headquarters in both places. So that we're not, it's not by accident. People are choosing not to use that technology on our border and in our cities.
Concrete walls. And then their fencing, let me tell you, they have more fencing, but their fencing is very sophisticated. It's not electrified, but it has a sensor where they would know the exactly where it was touched. If it's an animal that touched it, or hey, they'll know immediately, and they respond. We were there at one point where that's another thing that I would love to see, good old school towers. You know, like a prison tower?
Sure.
I want them on the border. And I want it with bulletproof glass to protect our agents, but I want an agent in there 24/7 staring at the cartel all day, all night with lights.
Right.
And
like they
yes,
do there.
You're absolutely right. We have this technology.
Right.
Sensors on the grounds. We have not just sensors. What's the other? Fiber optics, right?
Right.
They're all turned off because the Biden, when he not only did he stop the construction of the border wall, he also stopped all the other technology. I've been there in Hudspeth County, which the middle of the desert, there's no barriers, nothing there. I talked to the agents, why is it dark here? Why aren't these huge stadium lights? Oh no, they turned those
off.
Right,
exactly.
And I'm thinking, what the heck? So you brought up my race. That's why I want to run, because I need to protect the people of the state of Texas and this country from what's going on. And the reason why I'm doing it is because the person that's there, and people need to know that I'm primarying a guy from our own party, but the reason why I'm primarying him is because he does everything like a Democrat.
Right.
He boasts with the Democrats. Just right now, before you and I got on, he is supporting a bill. He's the one bringing the bill forward to expand legal immigration and visas for foreign workers. And he wants to fix the illegal immigration system. First of all, he has no idea how to do it. I do. Second of all, I want my Americans to get the jobs first.
I know.
And everybody says, well, we have a shortage of workers. Let me tell you, the problem here is the wokeness that they don't want to get off the freaking couch. And so there's other issues in society. We have to fix that, right? With our young ones. But there are jobs available here, and we have people. Yeah. We have the record number of vacancies in this country right now.
I know.
Everywhere you go, you see help wanted. When you want it, anywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere.
You and I travel all over the country. It's amazing how many places. And if you go to restaurants or to hospitality, customer service, there's help wanted signs everywhere. They say they can't get workers, and they can't get motivated workers too, which is a problem after COVID. A lot of people also got used to it. And I believe these people want universal basic income. How do you control an entire people? Yeah. You control their money, their food, their access to everything, which is part of this goal of this dystopian one party globalist system that they have in their minds, which people have to understand. It's not left or right, Republican or Democrat.
I'm seeing that I was in D.C. just last week. There's good people, by the way. There's some good people in D.C. and we need more. We need more to fight the cause, because they're the way minority in our own party. And the guy I'm running against is one of them that needs to be held accountable. The people have asked for it. They're like, listen, this is enough of this. Why are we dealing with this? Why? It's one thing that you're in your own party, do it, but pretend to be having an R in front of your name and then doing the opposite. Like, okay, enough is enough, you know? And I bring transparency. You're going to get a real person with me, right? In this office, people see me and like, well, you're the same guy. I'm the same guy. I'm the employee. The people are the employer. I'm going to work for the people. We've lost this in this country, Mel.
Yeah, you know what else we lost, Victor, which you are, is people getting at those positions because of experience. We have a lot of people that fail up in the government, that they fail us again and again, and they get promoted again and again. And then they have all this money behind them to run. And you look at their records or who they did business with or what contracts they were involved in or what bills they pushed. And people don't do their homework. We've lost the idea that the representatives are for us. We have a representative democracy. When these lunatics say, oh, they're hurting democracy. No, if we are not having the representatives represent their constituents, which you know isn't happening, I know isn't happening, because they vote in lockstep. But you have the experience that we need. And somewhere along the way, politicians have become inexperienced, all the way from the head of the FBI never being in the FBI to people dealing with the border that never were on the border. Everyone that goes into our government should have earned their way through merit like you have, which is why I think it's really, really important that people understand, A, you're running, where you're running, but you're not just running in Texas. Need you across the board.
It's Texas, it's U.S. Congress, Texas 23, along the border from El Paso to San Antonio. Can you imagine me in the House Homeland Security Committee?
Yes, I can.
Nobody's going to BS me. And nobody's going to tell me. I'm going to tell them how it is because I worked there. I've been there. I want to be in the Intelligence Committee as well. I bring a lot of foreign and diplomatic, which we need. We need negotiators. And I bring my diplomatic experience working in Mexico and Europe to hold these countries accountable. Telling you, top of my list. One, I'm going to get rid of the NGOs, whatever status they have, a C3.
You have
They're nonprofit. They're out.
The worst of the worst.
They're the extension of the cartels now, I think.
Yes, they are. And not just at the border. There's many other
everywhere.
Things. If you look into LGBTQ+, you're going to find HRC. You look into CRT, you're going to find another whole bunch of them. And then Open Society, people think sword. If you look at how many NGOs he gives money to, that's how many NGOs need to go.
So that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. People see me a lot at the border, but I want them to know that, yes, I'm in touch with education. I'm anti-CRT. Right. I don't want sexualization of our kids. And so I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to fight for mental health in this country is out of control. There's no mental health treatment. I was in D.C.
None.
They're yelling profanities. This lady, I don't know if she's going to stab somebody. And homelessness. I have bold plans to help them. I don't want to hurt them. To help them, but get them off the streets. You know all these facilities that we have? And we built all these society facilities for illegals? I want them to house our veterans and these mentally ill people and help them. And I might not ask them for their permission. I think we need to be bold now and save. They're pushing people into the trains in New York.
No, it's getting much worse. It's getting much worse. It's interesting. When I really started this several years ago, digging into this kind of corruption, I found that there was a project in New York run by de Blasio's wife, Thrive New York City, that I really tried to expose. The man that was doing the most work, DJ Jaffe, has passed away. But we were finding that what they were doing, even in that mental health system, and people have to understand, mental health in the public sector and homelessness in the public sector is a cash cow for evil people that perpetuate it, never fix it, dump billions of dollars in, the money disappears, $850 million for homeless and mentally ill under the de Blasio regime, one run by the right. Thrive New York, they were supposed to build housing and facilities, long and short term care. And I'll tell you right now, only 4% of that money went towards that. And all of the rest of it went to where? NGOs that were supposed to then dole it out. And when we dug into it, the salaries at the NGOs were eating up all the money. It wasn't going to the people. This can't go on. Another thing you brought up that's really important here is not just mental health, but obviously you and I both have known about Sound of Freedom. You lived it on the border. So you're watching all these people, eyes being open. You've been fighting child sex trafficking.
I rescued countless women and children.
I know you have.
I'm a subject matter expert in human trafficking. I've seen the film. I've seen it several times. I saw it a few years
back. You saw it 3 years ago. I know.
I did. And I had the honor to have a dinner with Jim Caviezel and meet all these guys. It was incredible. It's incredible. And I'm glad that movie is finally out because I'm hearing Democrats coming out of that theater upset. And I'm like, well, thank goodness, because it's about time that you, because I hear it all the time, Mel. Oh, you're a right-wing nut because of child trafficking.
I said, listen,
I can't share, Mel.
It's so
I cannot
crazy.
Share you the things that I've seen human beings do to a child. I put an example in my book, and it's graphic.
I know. I was going to say, Agent Under Fire. I mean,
I put an example of human trafficking for that reason. One
years.
Of those reasons is like, don't
right.
tell me it doesn't exist. I rescued the children. I rescued the women. And there was these horrible conditions, and that's why I put that in there. But this movement of this movie is going to change things, I think. It's already, the leftists, they don't even know how to fight it anymore.
Yeah, well, that's because a lot of them, as you know, because you did trace it to where it was coming from and how it was happening, and that these container ships aren't a joke and these islands aren't fake, and that it's a big business, especially Haiti, Dominican Republic. Oh, yeah. People don't understand what you've dealt with in your past. I always, your book is even more timeless. As time goes on, your book's more important, I believe. But I do want to say this about the child trafficking thing, because you and I have both been talking about it a long time. I do want to say that you have a plan for mental health and rebuilding facilities, short and long term care. But there are very, very few, and you've talked about this with me before, facilities for treating people after you rescue them. So a lot of the next conversation we have to have after Sound of Freedom is, OK, when you do rescue them like you have, where do they go? Because people are nervous about the NGOs in that realm, too, because as you and I know, NGOs are very opaque. Once you get in there, and there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. So I know that you also know that when you rescue women, children, men, boys and girls from human trafficking, it's a long recovery process, a long justice process. And we don't have any infrastructure for that either.
That was the hardest part as an investigator to set that up. Now, I did have NGOs. There were good NGOs and you need them, but obviously, it's easily vet them. And I couldn't do a lot of my job because we didn't have the facility. So the NGO helped me. I always had to set that up before I even thought about hitting the place or rescuing the girls at all, because where am I going to put them? And it was all of a sudden like very limited locations. Sometimes they had to be secret locations because the traffickers are still looking for the girls and the kids. And so I love the idea that some of these facilities can be used for that. And we can manage that. Why? Because I know how to do it.
Right.
You know, I know how to hold people accountable. The money would be used for that. We spend so much money in Ukraine. And apparently I'm tired of putting everybody first except us. And I know the money exists. I know that we can do it. And it's going to come to benefit this country, this state, this district, because what we do down there, Mel, I'm getting a lot of support from all over the country because they're saying, Victor, what you do down there is going to help us eventually in the interior part of the country. And
well,
so I appreciate all that.
Well, we need you in D.C. because, listen, there's, like I said, we are picking. Oh, I don't even think we are, honestly. Candidates are being selected for certain reasons, but it's not because of merit or because of their experience in the field, which is how we should be picking people. They should be the best at what they do in real life before they go into the intelligence committee or are on the border committee or immigration committee. These people have no experience in that, and you do, and we need you there more than ever right now to really be a leader, and you are a leader. Another thing that I just wanted to bring up, because I know that you are running, and this is something that's very important to you. You were the first person about 3 years ago that we talked about something that people do not understand is going to happen to our children in schools, which is a lot of you said to me early, you said the kids that are coming, they're not just illiterate in English. They're illiterate in their own languages because a lot of them are very poor. They don't come from places where that's happening, where they're being educated from very young. So come September, it's already happened, but come September, there's going to be a giant wave of illegal children going into our school system that are not literate in English, let alone in their language. Talk a little bit about what's going to be happening in our education system because of the border.
The small towns are, people think that every city is a large city. Most towns and cities in this country are small. When you all of a sudden receive 30 kids, it disrupts everything. Why? Because it costs more money. It costs more resources. When you talk about the problems, let's put language aside, which is a big one to begin with. Health. Oh, my goodness. Lice. I was in El Paso. A lice outbreak. Tuberculosis outbreak. Scabies outbreak. Measles.
Awful.
What the heck? You know, we get all these vaccinations when we started school to polio and all that. And these kids have never had anything, and they're bringing dengue fever, flesh-eating bacteria. So all of a sudden, that child, and I'm talking about one, let alone the thousands that are coming in, is going to require so many resources, healthcare, education, all the attention is going to go, and your son and your daughter, who needs a lot of help in reading and math and history, is going to be pushed aside. And let me tell you, the local school boards, this is where it helped. The local school boards. Now you're going to wonder, why the heck did I vote for this person? The school boards that you voted for, the city council members, the mayor, the county judges, commissioners, or however you call them, parishes in your town, they are going to have full power to decide what they do with these kids. Now, I always say, listen, despite how you feel of immigration, they're human beings. They're here. What do? You have to do something. But I think that you can't go wrong, first of all, by putting our Americans first. Right. Second, by following the law. And I think there's in 2024, you're going to want me there. You're not going to want my opponent there that's going to block everything, because it's going to change in 2024. We're going to change it. And people are going to be removed from this country. They're going to be removed. All these people that came here in the last 2.5 years, 7, 9, nobody knows the real number, millions of people, they're here illegally. Despite how the administration brought them in, they have to go, Mel. They have to go. You have to send this government, the United States of America, needs to send a message to the rest of the world that you will respect our sovereignty, that you will respect our laws and our constitution, because they're laughing at us right now. We're the fool of the world. And I'm going to tell you one that you don't think about a lot is these overstays. We have millions of people that came over in a visa, and they think they're hot shit because they came over in a visa. Oh, I didn't come through the river. I'm legal. No, you're not. You overstayed your visa. You're completely illegal. And we're going to pick you up and we're going to deport you. I tell you what, you start doing it. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to start self-deporting themselves. I'm going to have plans to visit Central America in a couple of months, because have you seen what's happened in El Salvador? They cleaned up.
Yes, that country. I know. And that's the thing.
But they need our help. But you see, I'm all for that. If I see a country doing what El Salvador and Panama is doing, I want to be a backup for them.
Right.
Not Guatemala.
This is all hurting them. Right. Yeah, this is hurting their effort. And that's really the truth. And a lot of people say, well, it's the American foreign policy. Well, it's the globalist foreign policy to continue to pretend that they are helping developing nations while they continue to keep them from developing. Right. So a lot of this is about things that are bigger. But the truth is, when some of these progressives and liberals and people, their argument is, well, they can't go home. The truth is, Victor, a lot of these people don't qualify for asylum. It's a lie. And they are not running from imminent danger or all of that. And that's the lie that the Biden administration has sold through all of their different channels, that these people are running from danger. And now the idea is that they're running from climate injustice or all of this.
Yeah.
It's just not true. It really is not true. And we want to facilitate going forward when you are in office. And I will do everything I can to make sure Victor Avila is in DC in 2024 and has a huge, huge voice and a lot of power, because he has experience to help us, not just at the border, but to help these children, to help these women, to help get these gangs, to help the ICE agents and the Border Patrol do their jobs. A lot of work needs to be done. And you know what, Victor? It has to be done during the transition so that you hit the ground running in 2024. Really important to do that. And I just want to end on one last thing. A lot of people say on the other side, the argument is always that something's wrong with us because we're not humane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you for bringing that
up.
Thank
you. Please.
How could you? You're not a compassionate person. You're inhumane. Let me tell you, and I'm very serious about this. A secure border saves lives. I'm actually more of a compassionate person and more of a humane person, because I don't want these children to be raped on the open border policy that you're inviting them to get raped, to hang themselves on a tree because it's so hot in that desert that they get so disoriented that they rather commit suicide, that they cook by the sun, that they drown in the river, that they roll over in a car because of the smuggling after the police is chasing them. I would save lives by defending and securing the border. That's compassion. That's being a humanitarian, is securing the border, saying you can't come here. If you want to come here, there's a legal way and a legal pathway. I would save children from being exploited and human trafficked and drugs from coming. Let me tell you, we didn't even talk about the cartels, but I am very, very, as you know, I wrote about in the book, I'm declaring them as foreign terrorist organizations.
Right.
I have to show the world the real superpower that we are. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of being a conservative. I'm not ashamed of being an American. I'm not ashamed of being putting an America first. I'm not. Right. I've seen it when it works, and it's great, and people benefit from it. And so inflation, economy, all that oil. I mean, I live in Texas, and they don't want us to drill. We could supply oil to the rest of the world just from this state alone.
Yeah.
So all also, that, you're going to get a guy that you're going to get someone in the office that knows about all this, understands it, and really brings, I'll tell you what I'm going to bring. I'm going to bring God.
I know.
Because I'm here by the grace of God. And I'm going to make
you
those
are.
Decisions.
I mean, there's a lot of people are here, but for the grace of God, but you really are. I mean, you shouldn't have made it off that border, and you That's did right. for a reason. And you have a beautiful family that supports you and is behind
my
you.
My family right here.
I know. I love them. Ah, oh, there they are.
Yeah. So these are the push cards for Victor Avila.
And the other thing about you is also, you know, all about the land management, what's going on. I mean, you know that all these farms are being bought up. There's nobody
China's
really
buying lands. Let me tell you really quick. They're buying ranches. I met with a coalition of ranchers that had to form a coalition because you got shell corporations masking themselves.
Right.
For all the way from the CCP, they've got Spanish companies from Spain and all this hiding it. Coming up to a, let's say the ranch is worth $1 million. Here's $5 million cash.
I know.
And sometimes the owner can't say no. You know why? Because they're tired of the illegals coming through the ranch and death and the dead bodies and the illegals running and destroying their, they're like, give me the $5 million they want out. Well, guess what? The CCP owns 140,000 acres in Del Rio. They own 16,000 acres here, 16,000 acres. There's a ranch and they're building the big old wind turbines. And I'm like, wait, I thought the left hated the environment. And I mean, they love the environment. We're the environmentalists. You know why? Yeah. To take us away from oil and gas.
And you know why else? Because they need food for their people.
Yes.
People don't understand. They're not going to be farming for our people. They're going to be farming and sending it back to China because they import most of their food, 60% of their food.
I did a report last week on jellyfish. Jellyfish in Baja California. And the cartel is now involved in the jellyfish. The jellyfish, we don't eat jellyfish here. Who does? Asia. China. Yes, China. I'm telling you, the cartel has a hand in anything.
People got to see it. People got to see it.
I'm aware of that. Picture. I have that knowledge. I want to bring that. So go to VictorAvila4Congress.com.
Thank you so much, Victor Avila. And I highly recommend his book. If you don't really understand what's going on the border, how it's happening, why it's happening, and you know, background of it, Agent Under Fire is an amazing book. It's also a great read. It's somewhat like a thriller. It's hard to believe it's real and that Victor is sitting here still.
That's the book.
And he is.
It's aged very well. I mean, you'll get a briefing on this one, that's for sure.
I know. But for the grace of God, are you still here? And I believe God is not even close to done with you. I want everyone to support Victor Avila. Please, everyone, there are a few people out there that I know that when they get into government, we'll turn things around and it will be their mission to fight for we the people, our children and our future. And thank you so much, Victor. You've been a great friend of the show, very supportive. And I could not be more
thank
grateful
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support, Mel. Thank you for anybody and your donations. It helps. I need money to run. This is the way this thing runs. This is the only job I ever applied for in my job that I need more to raise money.
It's terrible.
It makes no sense, but that's the way it is.
We got to fix that too. And again, everyone's got to understand, don't pick R's or D's. You must make sure that your vote counts, not just for who you're voting for, that you vet who you're voting for, because we have a lot of rhinos and Republicans that are bought and paid for and need to go. They are not on our side. They're not fighting for America like Victor Avila will. Please go donate whatever you can and support him. We all wish that it wasn't about money. Unfortunately, the other side has buckets and buckets from the globalists. Yes, so we have to do it the way we can. Thank you, sir. I'll see you again. Stay safe. Keep fighting.
Thank you.
I'm offering a novel approach that could reduce the complications and chances of getting infections.
Well, certainly I admired Dr. Zelenko's courage. He was always very honest. He was a hero as far as I'm concerned, and always admired him. Appreciated everything he said and did, taking a stand for truth. And he was right. That's the bottom line.
I liked outpatient family medicine, preventive medicine, and trying to keep people away from destructive patterns of behavior over time. and this way prevent them from ending up in the hospital.
So that's where we give people hope and peace of mind, knowing that if you take the Zelenko Labs products on a daily basis, we're going to back it up with the Z-Care promise to connect you with a telehealth visit for free with a licensed physician in all 50 states.
You can take your own care into your own control, into your own hands.
Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country. Because again, it's very affordable, and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full, life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.